All right. This is Patrick Higgins with the Back to Birding podcast.
And this is Luke Thompson. Welcome back, everyone. It feels like it's been eons since we've recorded.
I know. And especially since we've actually gone birding together.
I can't
remember the last time.
January?
Jeez, has it been that long?
I think it has.
It's like 2 months now. Goodness.
it's not going to happen by the end of March, is it?
Nope. It won't. Well,
we're busy.
Yeah. Have you had any good birds today or in the past couple of days?
Last Thursday, I had a campus first record of barn owl.
Awesome.
Although Austin Young pointed out it's not technically a campus bird because it wasn't like actually physically on campus, although I heard it from campus, so I'm going to count it.
Yeah, you can count that.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that go into different counties and see a bird in a neighboring county from the other side of that county.
That was almost disastrous.
Holy cow.
Yeah. It's got a lid on it.
Yeah. But, okay, it would have been fine. But, yeah, I know multiple people that have done that and they just counted it as the same bird twice for two different counties.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to count it.
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise, I haven't been birding that much recently.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've been more of a climber than a birder as of late. Yeah.
Back to climbing podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to get Patrick on a wall. We need to scare him a little bit.
Yeah. I've never officially gone climbing.
Hey, listen, man. Gym's always open. What you doing tomorrow morning before 10 a.m.?
I have class at 9:25.
But I've been in the gym climbing at 6. We can make it.
Okay. Yeah, no. I've got to do some more studying because I'm a student.
I'm a student. I don't study on my free time.
Well,
I didn't say that, by the way. Any schools listening? That's a lie.
Slash parents.
Oh, my parents know. Oh, my parents.
No secret.
It's no secret amongst anyone, really.
Amongst anyone, actually.
Actually, I think it's actually in one of my college rec letters that instead of studying, I go birding. And that's why my GPA is where it's at.
Well, maybe that's a good thing, maybe not.
I think it's a good thing. I don't have a bad GPA. Yeah.
So. That's good. Well, the topic for today is kind of just some general birding that we've done in the past couple weeks. I had my spring break for college, and Luke was able to go on a fun school trip. So, and we had some really good birding. So we're just going to kind of walk through those trips. But we can talk about Maine first, because I think chronologically that actually happened first. But
yeah. Yeah, so I went to visit University of Maine, and so we went up to Maine, but that's a long way. So we added, I think, a couple days in there. We stayed. Shockingly, the cheapest place to fly into was Bar Harbor.
Where is that?
It is half a mile from Acadia. So
wow.
I guess just because it was the off season, it wasn't horrible flights, like less than $500 round trip. And
I mean, that's not great.
Not great, but we flew in an 8-seater plane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like we wow. flew from Atlanta to Boston, and then we got to Boston, and I thought we were getting in like a 20-seater plane. Like, no, it was an 8-seater. There was no dividing between us and the pilot, so we could just see them and just see everything they did.
That's like international style stuff.
Yeah, it was dope. It was dope. It was a cool experience.
Nice.
And yeah, then we got to Bar Harbor and went and visited a college. It's like, okay, don't think I'm going to end up going here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No bueno?
It's just I am at a weird place where at Baylor I've done so much. It's like people are bragging about stuff which actually is genuinely good for a college, where I'm like, I've done that, I've done that. So it's like, I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
To go here, because if I'm going to do research, I'm at UTK, and I'm in a lab at UTK already because of my connections with Ben.
It would just be repetitive.
Yeah. So I would, and UTK is cheaper. So maybe I might, I don't know. I don't want to stay in Tennessee, but you know, anyways,
we'll see.
We'll see where I end up. Maybe I'll go to school in Portugal.
Jeez, that's a little different than Knoxville.
More interesting than Knoxville, in my opinion.
I'd say so. I don't think that's very debatable, but maybe to some Tennessee fans or something. But
yeah. Dude, UTK is hard to get into now, apparently.
It's always been, at least everything I've heard about it. Lots of people I have known have gotten denied, even first and second tries and stuff. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Man, I didn't know that. I was just like, hey, UTK, I'm gonna apply.
Well, it's kind of weird because you see some of the people that do make it in, and you're like, well, surely not.
But, yeah. It's interesting because, like, apparently me and another one of my friends here at Baylor were one of only 1,000 kids in the state who didn't meet their GPA requirements that got in.
Oh, really?
Like their automatic GPA requirements, like the automatic acceptance,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy because so many kids applied.
Yeah.
So
what schools are on your radar, or are you just kind of more focused on the time in between for now?
There's this school, it's called the School of the World, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of birds. It's the entire world. There's no teachers. You don't have to pay anything except for the cost of life. That's the school I want to go to.
Oh,
yeah.
I really thought you were talking about a real school for a while.
No, no. Oregon State's up there. They have bird research going on. And then they have... wow, my thoughts are gone. I'm sorry, y'all, if I just like am... all over the place a little bit. Mm. I haven't been getting enough sleep, and I leave for Panama tomorrow morning. So, you know, brains everywhere. Anyways, so Oregon State's up there. They also have an outdoor recreation and leadership program,
mm-hmm.
which is basically a guiding major. Although I don't know if that would be worth it in any way for me, but it would be cool because I would be outside. Like I could get to climb and hike during my classes, but I don't know.
That would be neat.
I know the one at the college I checked out, that which shall remain unnamed, there was a program similar to that would not challenge me enough from my understanding of it.
Hmm.
Like it wouldn't be worth going up there for that. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm at a point where I think I don't even know if I'm going to do research.
Mm-hmm.
And
just might not be ideal.
Yeah, like I'd game to go guide for a few years and then honestly be a teacher. Like, well, if I were a teacher, I'd want to be a teacher here at Baylor, mm-hmm. like, and a walkabout guide. I don't know, but also research really interests me, so I just don't want to be underpaid and undersatisfied.
Don't we all?
Yeah. I'd rather be, you know, underpaid and happy, as in,
because
then you're not underpaid.
Yeah, you can have one or the other, but you can't have both.
Yeah,
but yeah, I.
Sorry, birds. Yeah,
back to birding. But I am interested to hear about your camera being used for pretty much the first time since you've had it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's something that you haven't actually had since I've known you. So
well, I'll walk you through like the whole like main experience that we had.
Do it.
So we went to Acadia, and well, really, I'll be honest, there was like a month and a half there I was barely birding and only focusing on climbing, and that month and a half is
not in Acadia.
What?
A month and a half here. The way you said that made it sound like it was a month and a half in Maine.
Oh, yeah. No. A month and a half just of my life or two where it was more climbing than birding. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the dead period of time for birding and just exhausted, and climbing was a better release than birding was. Because right now I'm working 20 hours a week on top of school and something called Walkabout, the Walkabout program here, mm-hmm. which is like every afternoon I have two and a half hours of something, which is fun things, but still. Yeah. So I've been just exhausted, no free time, and climbing was just a better release for me, you know, mm-hmm. like getting outside, getting on a wall, feeling like I might die. It's yeah. fantastic.
Maybe you can take it to the next level and be the first climbing birder.
Yeah, you know, I might, I'm going to talk to, there's a guide at High Point, a climbing guide. I'll talk to him, say, mm-hmm. You know what, Mike, we got something. We got to get going.
Might be a little too niche, but
maybe a little bit, you know, Brian Bullard.
Yep.
He climbs. He's nice. A climber at High Point. So yeah.
I imagine a lot of people in this area have yeah. a little bit of climbing in their blood, but
yeah, for sure. But yeah. So coming up to the trip, I didn't really even put any research into what was possible. I knew there was like American tree sparrow, mm-hmm. purple sandpiper, a couple other things, but it wasn't like, I don't know, I wasn't looking into it too intensely.
Right.
And then I was actually more looking forward to just being in Acadia and yeah. getting out there.
My dad and my sister went a few years back and said it was the most beautiful place they've ever been.
It was amazing. It was awesome. I was there this summer, not that part oh, really? Of Acadia, on Isle of Ho, which is a different part, which actually, I don't know which I preferred more, but Isle of Ho is really nice because it was, you know, the middle, or kind of the middle of, an island in the middle of nowhere
yeah.
on the ocean, so there weren't very many people, so you really felt isolated, where... And Acadia itself, it's pretty touristy, so I didn't get the same isolated feeling. And then there was right. there's this one hike, I think it was called Beehive, that's like sketchy. And my mom didn't want to do it, but I would have loved that hike because it was sketchy.
Yeah.
Which, you know, what that says about me, probably means I need therapy anyways. but yeah, it was beautiful, like mountains with just like, you know, you can see the rock, the bare rock mm-hmm. underneath, because it's just like right there. It was really beautiful. And then the coastline, just brilliant blue waters. And then
yeah.
Crashing against that, the gray granite, is beautiful. I love it. Yeah. I love it there.
I'd love to get up there sometime. It seems
yeah
ideal.
Yeah, it's amazing.
How was the weather?
It was... The day we went on the college visit, it was really funny because everyone was apologizing for the weather because it was like 38 and drizzling
mm-hmm.
and foggy. And I was like, this seems like Signal Mountain, which is where I live
yeah.
at all points during the yeah. winter. But it also, it was really windy for that day too. And there was like some sleet and snow. But we had a couple beautiful days and, you know, highest temperature we had was maybe 40-45, lowest was 20-25, so you know, not terrible, no, not at all. But then one night, going back to the whole birding thing, I guess that's what we're supposed to talk about,
the
here.
Whole birding thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
One night I was thinking, okay, we have one morning left, I guess I should actually check out what's here. Cause I don't know what I was doing.
How many days were you there?
Like three.
Okay. So you didn't have a ton of time. Like anyways,
three full days or something like that. Mm-hmm. Two or three. There wasn't like,
yeah.
there was a ton of time. And like the day that we had mostly off, we went to Acadia. My mom had never been to Acadia before. So I think it yeah. was, that was good. And so anyways, I checked that night and it was like, okay, purple sandpiper, that's possible. And actually it was, and easy, there's like, it was so easy. And then there were a couple others. Northern shrike was being seen
mm-hmm.
on a school campus. So my overall school campuses list, which I'm going to start keeping, is going up. It's going up.
Well, you better get down to Florida and get that yellow-headed Caracara, which is
yeah.
I don't know a hey, school that's on.
I have social flycatcher for one of my school campuses.
Is that
Benson
RGV?
Yeah,
what's it called?
It's University of I don't know. It's a Texas
University Rio Grande. Of Texas RGV. Sorry, anybody down there?
Yeah, sorry to offend you. Yeah. Maybe I should apply there, just get good birding all year.
Well, that's where that last, what was it, fan-tailed warbler? Or was it
a different fan-tailed. One? Yeah. I've seen Golden Crown down there, but...
You have?
Yeah.
At the same time as the social? Or is that a different
not, trip? Not on the university's campus, sorry. Mm. I didn't realize we were still talking about that. Yeah. But I've seen that generally in that area. Mm. But, yeah, anyways, Northern Shrike, those were the two, and then American Tree Sparrow was another possibility. Mm-hmm. But my two targets for that morning were Purple Sandpiper and Northern Shrike, and so...
Both lifers?
Both lifers. Nice. Spoiler alert, I got four lifers. So there were surprises.
Awesome.
And so I woke up super early and we went out to a point as the sun was rising. Of course, there was no sunrise because it was cloudy, unfortunately. But that morning, that was cold because like 15, 20 mile per hour winds ripping off the... ocean and the sun isn't up.
That's different.
That was gold. But anyways,
wind makes any weather potentially miserable.
Yeah.
I can do like below freezing fine, but as soon as it's windy, it's like I hate it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Maybe I'm just
mentally weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Tim Lenz pointed out that I called you an idiot several times on the last episode. So I'm going to try and be kinder.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that.
Let's be real.
I didn't notice, but I still appreciate that Tim noticed.
Let's be real here. Patrick was probably being an idiot.
Or the other way around.
Oh, that's a constant. There has never been a moment in my life where I wasn't being an idiot. Like that, I can remember.
Okay.
I can see the gears turning. You're like, oh, yeah, he's right, isn't he?
I'm trying to think of a moment.
Have you found one yet?
I have not.
Yeah, but before we even got to the location where they were seen reliably, I looked off to my.
Which bird?
A purple sandpiper. That was the first bird that we were going for. Which purple sandpiper is this chunky colidris. So that's a genus of sandpipers. It's the largest genus of sandpipers, I believe. And
so what's it probably closely related to?
Sanderling.
Sanderling and
so
maybe turnstone? Is that the same?
Turnstones aren't colidris.
It's a similar build.
Yeah, I guess. But it's closer related to like Sanderling.
It's weird.
And
Peck, maybe?
Peck, Least, Western semi-palmated, that group. But for Sanderling, for like non-birders out there, Sanderling is that bird when you're at the beach, that little bird that's scurrying after the waves.
That's running away from the waves and trying to do everything you can not to get wet.
But yeah. Yeah. That one. That's the Sanderling. So, purple sound. We're going to leave that in too. I know how to speak. Purple sandpipers are a little bigger. They're chunky, like a size of a grapefruit, and they're like dark gray and not very purple. About size and shape of a grapefruit with a.
Is there a purple fruit that we can replace since it's a purple sandpiper?
No, it was great. Like, grapefruit is my best comparison. Roughly grapefruit size and shape with a, honestly, the bill
and shape, is it round?
It was pretty damn round.
All right.
It may just because it was gold, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Birds do get round when they're cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, with like a relatively normal sandpiper bill, like with an orange base, like,
I feel like their face always looks weird to me. Every picture I see of one, it's just
let's pull up a picture here.
Slightly wrong.
I think I agree. Yeah.
Do you think like the end of the bill is slightly too large or something, which makes the whole head just... I feel like their eyes are also huge.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I've never seen one in person.
Oh, yeah. You're right. It is... Something is mildly off about the face of a purple sandpiper. Can you place it though? See how it's a relatively normal sandpiper bill.
Yeah, I wonder if so. It has a bicolored bill, and I wonder if that's just like tricking my eye somehow, and like making
it just looks wrong.
Part of the bill look too fat or something.
I think part of it is because they're just look how that thing is proportioned.
Yeah.
So
yeah, its head is definitely too big.
Their heads are big. Their heads are large, and they have really short, stubby legs. And the bill is bright orange and black. The legs are bright orange and black. And
they have bicolored legs?
Or, sorry, that was just me being tired. Again, this might be a rough episode. gone off the rails so many times already. No, it's just bright orange legs. But
orange legs, orange bill.
Orange and black bill.
Yep.
And then... Yeah, big head. They love rocks. So what they do is they sit on the rocks that are like right where the waves are crashing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few birds that specialize more on the west coast.
I guess we're stupid. The bird we should have compared it to is rock sandpiper.
Well, I was gonna say that, but I was like, if someone knows rock sandpiper, they're gonna know purple sandpiper.
Yeah, probably. Unless they're only west coasters.
Yeah, purple sandpiper is a rock sandpiper, but a little different. Anyways,
they are almost indistinguishable, right?
If I remember.
Yeah. Oh, I know whenever you have vagrants in like the middle of the country, it's typically hard to distinguish which one it is.
They're very, very similar. Yeah. But yeah, they before we even got there, I was driving slow because we were right on the edge of the coast and I wondered if I might see something. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a lump on a rock, and it was a purple sandpiper. It was like,
dude,
before we even got there. And it was pretty close, too. And then there was a female black scoter right there, long-tailed ducks out. Patrick's never seen a long-tailed duck.
No, I haven't.
So
there's been one in Memphis for months, and I haven't gone to see it.
Don't drive to Memphis for a long-tailed duck. That's not worth it.
Oh, but I haven't seen one, so I... want to.
If you're gonna drive to see a long-tailed duck, drive like a little longer and get to the coast.
Yeah, go east instead of west.
Yeah.
That's probably worth it. But
and yeah, then we got to that location and I started just birding around and there were common eider, long-tailed duck, red-breasted merganser, etc., etc. There was redneck grebe way out.
Nice. I've never seen one of those.
Yeah, it was cool to see that sort of coastal thing. It was like, there's actually ducks here?
Yeah, and they're where they're supposed to be instead of seeing them in Tennessee and they're on like a farm pond or something.
Yeah, it was really sick. And then a group of purple sandpipers just flew by and landed behind some rocks. Oh,
nice.
How
many did you have?
On that, I think total I saw 25.
Nice. That's awesome.
And so some flew behind a rock and then... I didn't see those ever again, but then I just started meandering a little bit, and I just looked down, scanning the edge, and there was like, oh, there's a purple sandpiper. Oh, there's another. Oh, my God, there's 15. And it was like,
dang.
They blend in so well with the rocks. They're like literally, like, that's why they're the color that they are, because they're the exact same gray as the rocks. And it was cool.
Interesting.
I got to watch them feed for a little bit, and... It's cool, you know, the wave hits and then they're looking for stuff that's washed up or just poking at the rocks. It was cool. I also saw...
Yeah, so I guess they have a little bit of a different niche than most shorebirds because they're not wading necessarily. Like, they're not...
They're a rock specialist, yeah. So they're looking for rocks versus mud or sand, which is really cool.
And so do they just...
And I like them because of that, because I also think rocks are cool.
they're like a little climbing sandpiper.
Yeah.
Well, so do they feed on microinvertebrates, like, in seaweed, or, like...
I honestly I'm not well versed in what exactly their diet is. Mm-hmm. I feel like little mollusks they'll eat, and then just like macro invertebrates that are either washed on the rock or already on the rock.
I feel like if I was trying to find food on a rock, I probably wouldn't do very well.
Well, they seem to do fine. Yeah. I don't know. They seem to be eating things.
Yeah.
The most enjoyable thing was I was just sitting there watching them, and a wave came in. One was sitting on top of a rock, and it just hit the bird, and it fell.
What?
And it just like fell down the rock. It was so funny. And then it like shook itself off and walked off like nothing happened. But it was
poor guy.
I saw you.
It seems like
it was such a small wave too. It was like you have surely seen something way more brutal than that.
Maybe he just misjudged it.
Yeah,
he thought it was smaller than it was.
I think he was like slightly like walking at the time, and so he could. It's so funny
to see birds just kind of not be good at being in nature, like. I hadn't seen it too often until this winter, and you just saw it all the time. Like, we had a lot of ice. You'd see ducks just, like, hit the ice, not realizing it's there at all, trying to land.
Just slide around on ice.
Yeah, slide around, and then you have, like, I saw pipits all over the ice just falling down the whole time.
Me too.
Yeah. It's like, what? These guys should know better by now. They live outside.
It's funny. I love it. Oh, you know, an eagle flew like way overhead while I was watching the sandpipers, and like all the ducks he wasn't even hunting. Like,
was it a Stellar's sea eagle?
No, it was not. Yeah. I looked to see if that sea eagle was within 5 hours of me, and it was not.
Is it still there?
It hasn't been reported in the last month or so. Month or two. I'm not sure how long it has been. But yeah, all the ducks got up. The long tails were super flighty. They're kind of cool to see in flight because they have a long tail.
Yeah.
And they're just beautiful ducks.
Well, their winter plumage is
perfect,
debatably immaculate. Prettier than their breeding plumage.
Oh yeah.
It's crazy.
God,
I really want to see one. I want to see a male in winter.
What about like 20 feet away in golden hour?
Yeah, I know.
Eye level.
Back when you had a camera that was working, and now you do again.
At a farm pond and 20 minutes from my house. Actually, no, that was like 40 minutes from my house. I did get...
There was a freaking scoter in there, too.
Yeah.
So weird.
I was crazy. Yeah. That bird was... Victor Stoll drove out just to get pictures of that bird.
Because
it was...
He probably has some crazy good pictures of that thing.
Not to toot my horn, but I think I got better pictures.
Yeah?
What I did is I just got lucky because it was sitting on a log at the farm pond, and I just had access, and I was with someone who knew the owners of the pond, so I was able to get access to just the very edge and crawl along that and get eye level, beautiful shot. Oh,
that's awesome.
It was so cool. It was so cool. Dream of. Anyways,
so did you get any photos of the
sandpipers? I pulled out my camera, and I realized I'd made the new mistake of forgetting to charge it, because I haven't had a camera in ages, you know.
Yeah. How many years has it been?
Like, pretty much 2 years to the dot. Today would be almost, if not exactly, 2 years ago that camera got stolen. So at that,
are you gonna get insurance on this one now?
That's extra money. Why would I do that? Yeah, I'll get insurance.
It has saved me twice now. So
yeah,
goodness.
Yeah,
I advise it.
I'm going to.
Especially with your
travels.
Tendencies.
What, clumsy?
Yeah, that and just, for lack of better words, just a little whimsical, maybe.
Elaborate. How am I whimsical, Patrick?
Well, you just climb a lot, and you go off trail a lot, and you drive fast, and... You do things that might not be ideal for keeping a camera safe.
Do I drive fast?
Yeah.
I've been trying to rein it in.
Yeah. Everyone has to go through a phase of reining it in.
Yeah. It's more enjoyable to drive slow sometimes.
I mean, that's no problem with any of that. I just advise getting insurance on your camera.
That's smart.
Because honestly, it's not that expensive. At least the one I have, which I was surprised by. It's like I have theft and damage insurance, and it's just like $10 a month or something.
Oh, I can pay that.
Yeah, easy. I know.
Yeah.
So,
worth it. Well, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, back to birding. We're like 30 minutes in at this point.
Yeah. We haven't even gotten through your main story.
Yeah. What is my main story even?
Well, M-A-I-N-E.
Oh.
Your main story.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, so we decided to leave and head on to try for a northern trek that was at a school on the way to where we were going to go and grab breakfast. And just, I looked, there are birds on the side of the road, so I stopped and I looked up and there was a flock of birds in a tree and I presumed they would be starlings. And then I was like, oh, cedar waxwings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at them through my binoculars. Well, I thought they were starlings, binoculars on, it was waxwings. So I was like, oh, cedars. Then I was like, wait, those are fat and gray. Those undertail coverts are rusty. Oh my God, it's cedar, or oh my God, it's bohemian waxwings. I've never seen one. I didn't even think of it as a possibility.
Yeah.
And there was 63 in that flock.
Beautiful.
Just
bird.
Right there. Their call sounds.
63?
Yeah. Their Jeez. Call sounds so different than.
Really?
The cedar.
More is it high pitched still?
Or yeah, but it's really trilly. It's cool. I thought it was really cool. And so.
Well, we can play a clip of it.
Yeah, we'll play a clip of it.
Well, maybe we can use that to bleep Luke this episode.
Have I cussed yet?
No.
I said damn, but.
Well.
D-A-M is what I said for those listening.
For any children listening.
Yeah, for any children. I'm a perfect little angel. I don't curse. But yeah, that was such a cool experience. And I got like 2 minutes just looking at those wax wings. And then, oh man, it was awesome.
Yeah, they have white on the primaries, right, as well? That shows pretty strong.
Yeah.
Cedars don't have.
They do. I mean, that was so cool and such a surprise. It was such a rush because I wasn't expecting it at all. And I was like, oh, my, just happened upon it while driving.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. Again, no camera pictures, some 2-pixel Digibins as is custom. By the way, I didn't have my phone for this entire trip. It was my mom's phone, the only thing. See, I got a new phone.
You got a new phone?
Yeah.
No way. Wow.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah.
I got a new case, so I feel kind of fancy too, but
let's go. We're fancy.
Yeah.
It's
still shattered, but it's okay.
That was like our first or second time birding.
I know.
Together.
We were at the freaking pond.
That's a different pond than the long.
Oh,
pond.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I've the whole time I've thought it was that pond.
No, it's a different pond.
Okay.
Different county actually.
What? I thought that was in Sequatchie.
It's in Sequatchie Valley, Bledsoe County.
Bledsoe County.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. County North. But yeah, that was cool. And of course no camera. And then we went and grabbed breakfast, and while we were eating breakfast, I actually plugged in my camera battery because I had the charger on me. Just no way to charge it. Like no wall to plug it into, obviously, when you're out in the wilderness.
And driving and such.
Yeah. And so yeah, we were doing that and I was just like, Oh, I completely skipped over a part. The Northern Shrike, which was arguably the coolest.
Well, you said you were on the way to
way to the Shrike spot, and it was a school. I can't remember the name of the school.
Was it like a college or?
Like a high school.
Okay.
It makes me glad that I'm a high schooler, because you look really creepy otherwise. especially in your rental car if you roll up it to a school.
Yeah.
Anyways, and I gave it a half-hearted scan, but I was pretty sure it was gone, given some comments of someone else. And I didn't see it. I scanned all the tops of the trees, and I didn't see it. And I was like, okay, I don't think we're going to see it after like 5 minutes. And another birder walked up and was like, introduced himself. I think his name was Michael Good. And he was like, why? What's your name? Whatever. Typical. No, we didn't even ask each other's name. We're birders. Come on.
Yeah.
We started talking about birds without interchanging.
And then you don't find out each other's name. I'm surprised you did. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
You leave talk about birds card. And leave.
Anyways. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for the Shrike. And he was like, oh, I haven't seen it. And then he was like, oh, it's right there. And we turned around.
It flew up as you were talking to him about it?
I was just in a tree right behind my head. and I just didn't turn around. And yeah, looked at it, and then it flew immediately, flew straight over our heads, got a good look at it flying in the bends. Then it perched distant, and then mm-hmm. I think we were too rushed with our approach. I managed digibin pictures of it nice. On top of a tree as it was as distant, pretty distant, got good looks at it. And
so I guess I don't even really know, distinguish a northern shrike from a loggerhead, because that's the only one I have experience with.
It just, it felt different.
does it have light barring on the
breast?
Yeah,
it has light barring okay. underneath, a smaller mask. I can't even describe it, but there was just a feel that was different. Behavior was different. It was perched on the very, very tippy top of like tall trees. Hmm. Of course there's
tall trees.
Yeah.
That's like definitely
overlap.
Different.
Of course there's overlap, but
yeah,
it probably also felt different because it was cold. And then 2 seconds later, 4 common mergansers flew over, and that's not going to happen here. It was pretty cool. That was a really cool bird. And then,
so is this all on the same day?
Those 3 lifers were within an hour.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's actually nuts.
And then we went and got breakfast, and I was like, just double check. I was feeling amped. I was like, is there anything else? Because I had looked through and looked at like the top 5 most regular species and to see if any were around. And then I was like, screw it. Why not check thick-billed myrrh?
Mm.
There was a thick-billed myrrh, super reliable. At a place like 10 minutes from where we were staying.
So you just like randomly looked it up?
Yeah. Or well, it was what like, it was in the target species.
Yeah.
But it was like bottom 20.
Still. That's crazy.
And I just looked at the species map and it was like, oh, that was seen today. I'm going to go for that bird.
Mm-hmm.
So we finished our breakfast and, by the way, for anyone in Bar Harbor, Choco Latte Cafe, not a sponsor, maybe they will one day, but very, very, very good.
Choco Latte.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a good name.
And I had their
Choco Latte?
Yes. They have really good hot chocolate.
Wow.
And then I had what they called the Choco Latte, which is like hot chocolate and espresso. Ooh, it was so
wow.
good.
That sounds great.
Yeah, they had really good
food.
This
is an unpaid promotion.
I will say their avocado toast did not live up to Need Love's avocado toast.
Okay.
But everything,
I mean,
the other
that's,
food
that's
I
hard
had,
to
I
do
had,
anyways.
Like, yeah, Need Love's avocado toast is peak avocado toast, by the way. Need Love's is this bakery that we have here in chat, and they make like the best bread.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's heavenly. And that's what makes the avocado toast. Avocado Coast. Good.
Avocado Coast. Goodness.
If I ever own a piece of land along the coast, that's the name.
The Avocado Coast.
I recently got an avocado pin from one of my teachers, and it's now on my binoculars. Mm. And
for no reason.
For absolutely no reason at all. Timothy Schober will be with me at all times. Then, yeah, we packed up the Airbnb super quick. Also, if I knew how to recommend an Airbnb, I would recommend that one too. It was really good. It was really, really good.
I mean, we can link it.
Yeah. If anyone's going to Bar Harbor, I would recommend it. I will link it because it was one of the best Airbnb experiences I've had, and it was really close to town and really close to Acadia, and they had a lot of good recommendations. And the host was really nice and helpful, but not like all over the place or like all in your business. It was good. Mm-hmm. But we packed it up super quick and then we drove off to the thick-billed myrrh, which was, the first thing is we pulled up and there's a couple birders and it was like, is the myrrh here? And they were like, oh yeah, it's down over there. But, straight behind us are Bohemian waxwings. And I was like, oh my God.
Again.
And there were, that flock had like 150 something.
Holy cow.
And I actually had my camera charged at that point.
Camera this
I got pictures of it.
Really?
Oh, it was amazing.
I haven't seen them. I don't, did you send them to me? You probably did.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, no, you sent it to me. Sent it from your computer though. It's just a picture of the back of your camera.
It's a back of camera. I haven't processed any of those pics yet.
Those birds are beautiful. Oh my gosh,
Bohemian waxwings are fantastic. And crazy. Man, this thick-billed murre, I saw the wax wings, and first off, there was just ducks in the cove, a bunch of bufflehead, which, you know, it's a common duck, this is this little tiny diving duck. They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. They're cute. They have a lot of personality. Call them bubbleheads. Thanks to Kevin Calhoun for that name. And yeah. Oh, they're like right there. I got some video of them. It's so cool. And
oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. And you can just see like the colors, like the purple and green sheen on the male's head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then I turned around and thick-billed murre real close. And then there was parking and a dock like 30 feet from where it was.
Jeez.
So that's we ideal. Went down there, and it was fantastic.
So tell me a little bit about this species.
Yeah. So
I don't know much about it.
So it's a murre. So that's one of the alcids. So, mm-hmm. If you know about the ancient murrelet from the episode we did on that, that's related to that. And they're basically like the flying penguins of the north.
Yep.
Are the alcids, as Patrick calls them. Basically, this group of birds feeds on fish. They don't fly well in the air, but underwater they can fly super well. So they have these like short pointed wings, and they dive and they catch fish. And they're most of them are dark on top and light below, at least in the non-breeding plumage. Mm-hmm. And they're ocean birds. They're pelagic species, or maybe near shore ocean a lot of the times for some of them. But thick-billed murre is so common. Murre is more common. It's a ranges farther south, and thick-billed murre is harder than that mm-hmm. bird. And both those murres are on both coasts. But
oh, really?
Thick-billed murre is a farther north species.
Okay.
And
makes sense.
They're not an easy bird, and it's not an easy identification, and not one you normally get really, really, really close, from my understanding at least. And yeah, like my common murre experiences have never been nearly that good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I've seen a decent number of common murres.
Hmm. I don't know anything about alcids still.
Yeah.
Just no experience with them.
But. Yeah. I don't know that much. I have very limited experience.
Yeah.
And
we don't run into too many of them in Chattanooga.
Yeah, only an ancient murrelet every now and then.
Only one.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was 30 feet away. It was preening. It was, my God.
That's
awesome.
I was
like, good light, and I just got to sit with it. I got so many. I think I took like 300-400 pictures. I got to spend like an hour in a half with it. I think it was like
Golly.
It was like to the point where my mom was like, we got a flight, we need to leave.
So four lifers in a morning.
Four lifers in a morning.
Oh my gosh,
it was insane. And
when was the last time that happened to you? The first time you went out west or something?
First time in South Texas,
2022.
I got the same amount of lifers in 4 hours or 5 hours that I did in the entire year of 2023.
Holy crap. And it's not about to stop either.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Man,
that thick-billed murre. By the way, thick-billed murre is like dark on top and white below. It's not like an interesting bird appearance-wise, I guess. It's unique. And
a lot of the alices look pretty similar.
But. Yeah. That was an experience.
That's great, dude.
Yeah. So four lifers, and I'm probably about to get four lifers in about as many minutes or seconds.
You are now preparing for
Panama.
The long-awaited Panama. This time not for
guiding months, and not even a birding specific trip. It's just,
but it's not a not birding trip, which is nice.
Yeah, it's like
you don't have other stuff necessarily you have to do.
The guy down there actually texted me yesterday. He's got hummingbird feeders bought.
Oh, sick!
And ready to be set up. And I think he's built a fruit feeding setup too.
Dude, you're gonna be. I mean, surely some stuff is still migrating through there now.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah.
Yeah, I know stuff is kind of already further north, but still. I mean, there's going to be heavy traffic. That's cool.
And it's on mountain ridges, so there could be good hawk movement too.
Yeah.
Like I'll have views of that. Oh my God. It's going to be fantastic. And by the way, I don't know if we've mentioned it yet. It is right now, it is 7:30 p.m. and I leave tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Mm. So I'm like, this is close.
This is it. Goodness gracious.
I've got everything down visually. Not completely everything down by ear, because it's actually shockingly hard to do that with some of the stuff that's super similar, especially when you're not a little bit sleeper, or when you're a little bit sleep deprived.
Yeah. And there's also just like not incredible recordings of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough. But
that being said, I do know a good amount by ear. Every single dove I've got down pat by ear for whatever reason.
I'm sure there's a lot more than doves.
But. Yeah, there's significantly more than doves. I know a good amount by ear, but I also am like, I know I'm going to be tracking down every single thing I hear.
Yeah.
So, and as soon as I see something making a noise, yeah, I've got it down, you know?
Well, like, make sure, I don't know if it's too late or not, but make sure you bring adaptable outlet plugins and stuff, because they probably don't have.
Tim made the house. They probably do.
Oh, really?
It's an American-made house.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. Just be careful, because that would suck if you got down there and you couldn't charge anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to have phone or computer.
Will you have your camera, though?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you'll want to charge that, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, well, anyways, we can shift gears a little bit. But
yeah, that'll be talked about.
Yeah, a lot more in the next episode, I'm sure.
But might take two. Yeah. It might take two. But yeah, Patrick, you went to Texas. Let's hear about it.
Yes. So, you know, I talked about Galveston in the first episode, and that it means a lot to me. And I have family down in Houston, which is really close to Galveston, that I've gone and stayed with for multiple years now. But I had my spring break. I guess it was starting on the 10th for me. And it just worked out where my girlfriend and I were able to caravan on down. Did a 14-hour drive to Houston. Yep. And from there, we went to Galveston with my family. So they have a beach house down there, and I haven't been in a few years, so it was really great to see them and do some more concentrated birding now that I'm a little better than I was at this activity. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, so
I've seen some pictures and some videos.
Yeah, man.
What was the highlight?
So I went down there with two major targets. I never really realized that seaside sparrow was year-round, and I just haven't really spent much time on the coast, really, mm-hmm, anywhere. Like, just haven't spent a lot of consistent time. And seaside sparrow is obviously not a super easy bird, even if it's abundant in an area, because it's just, they're good at hiding if they're not singing. But I had that as my almost given target, because it was reported every day from at least a couple different locations in Galveston County. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I was super stoked about that. And then the harder target, which, you know, I'll get into, but it was a black rail. And, you know.
So maybe we should wait a little bit before we describe black rail, or should we go now?
We can do that second, and I'll go ahead and say that about the seaside sparrow. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I looked for it literally the whole week. Everywhere we went, I tried for it. Places it was reported the day before, nothing. Like, I could not get on one to save my life. And I thought I was kind of doing everything right, and just, I could not get on one. And we went up to Bolivar, which is across the ferry, still Galveston County, but you have to go across the ferry to get to it, and spent the whole morning birding there. And that's where High Island is, one of the most famous birding spots in the U.S.
Absolutely.
And I had never actually driven up there, because it's about an hour and a half from where we usually go in Galveston, including the ferry ride. So But I decided to just make the trip up there just to say I've actually been to High Island, which is kind of silly, but worth it. So,
is this where we've gotten to? We're ticking birding locations.
I mean, I would do the same with like Point Pelee or something, you know?
Yeah, honestly, like,
I
would do the same. It's just still ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Like, there was nothing there, and I just got destroyed by mosquitoes, but I can say that I have a checklist from the High Island area now, so.
Hell yeah.
So be it. Maybe next time I go down, it'll be during fallout, and that'll be a different experience, but yeah, so we spent the whole morning on the Bolivar Flats, which is potentially my favorite place that I've ever been on Earth. It's just a piece of my heart is there. We had probably 2,500 American avocets.
Oh my God.
Still in some breeding plumage, had a lot of mixed plumage, which is just beautiful. But I think I technically put down 2,200, but it was really hard to count with that many. But I got some great time with those guys, and just I'm really happy to have my camera back now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's been not so healthy for the past 8 or 9 months, but
yeah, that's also thanks to my driving.
It happens. But insurance, right? Yeah. Anyways, we're here. And so, yeah, I took a crap ton of photos of those, and I was really happy with it. But I went up to High Island, and on the way back, it was, like, literally the last chance, last day. Like, if there was going to be a time that I got seaside sparrows right then. And on Tuna Road, which is a dirt road that goes straight into the water on the bayside. Like, there's nothing there. On Tuna Road, if you ever need some seaside sparrows, go to Tuna Road and Bolivar Island. But got out there. There was 6, 7, 8 of them singing.
And you got great pictures.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't spend as much time with them as I could have. I just... because of some time constraint stuff, but like,
and were you with, you were with Annabelle too?
Yeah. Which I mean, she's great. She doesn't really hold me back too much at all, which is just lovely. But I was so stoked about that.
Oh, I'm sure
it was literally the last chance. And then I was just driving super slow with all the windows down, listening for them. And there's one 4 feet from the road. Just
man, I can imagine just the rush when you first hear it.
I know.
As you drive.
I think here
was Annabelle driving.
I was driving. Oh, okay. And I just landed on the brakes, but yeah, they were all around, just flying around me. But so cool. But yeah, to backtrack a little bit,
chronologically.
Yeah. So black rail is debatably the most elusive bird species that lives in the U.S. or at least calls the U.S. home. You know, obviously you have vagrants.
Oriole owl?
Yeah. It's debatable.
It's debatable. Yeah. It is top five most elusive bird species, I would say, that we have, for sure.
Yeah. It is mouse-sized. It is the smallest rail in North America, and critically endangered. So, or at least on the federally endangered species list. So... it is a really hard bird to locate, and it was kind of a shot in the dark because on eBird you can't actually see when or where they are reported because they are listed as endangered. So you kind of have to really dig around to find a reliable spot for one. And I just got lucky on Facebook one day and saw some old man that lives in Texas saying that
I saw an old man in Texas.
But he claimed that he had them a couple times in a specific location on Galveston Island, and I was like, man, I'm only gonna have one day there, so I'm just gonna spend the whole morning looking for him, and if I don't find him, I'll try again that night. But so I went out there to this spot before sunrise and just found some habitat that just looked perfect. And I was like,
which is what?
So because they are a super small bird, they can't necessarily have as much water in a marshy habitat as other rail species. So it kind of just has to be almost tidal zones where it stays wet for a little bit and then kind of shifts, but that's not always the case. But they just kind of need damp ground, maybe an inch or two of water in a marshy, grassy area. So,
yeah,
pretty typical to other rail species, but just a little bit less water. And I found some habitat that was like, you know what, if there's going to be one, it sure looks like it would be here. So I spent 15, 20 minutes right at sunrise just listening really hard and hoping for one, and just didn't get one, and just had all kinds of clappers and potentially a king, but I just kept going and then got on a trail for like an hour and a half, a little bit further down, looking for more habitat, and didn't find it. Didn't find habitat even, but had a barn owl hunting over the marsh, which was
during the day, right?
Well, right at sunrise. It was basically
dark.
That's
so sick, though.
It was. I've never seen one in flight, and it was just so cool. So cool. Yeah, that was ridiculous and an awesome little morning present. But after I got off of that trail, it was like 8:30, 8:45 or something, and I'm driving back by the same spot, and I just have all the windows down, driving slow, you know, just in case. And I hear it, like, from the car, I can hear it. And I just, my heart stops. I'm like, there's no shot. Is that actually it right now? I could hear it. And so I stop in the middle of the road, get out, like, super slow. I didn't want it to stop calling because I wanted to be sure and get a recording and stuff. 15 feet off the road. Like, just calling over and over, just loud calls. And there was a little bit of a trail, like, about 15 feet to the right, where I tried to get a little closer for just to see if I could see it. But I couldn't. And so I went back over to get a good audio recording of it. And it started coming closer and closer and closer. And at one point, it was within 4 feet of me.
Yeah. Did you see it?
I never saw it.
That sounds like a black rail. Yeah.
And I'm
that is stupid.
I know. I'm dude. Totally satisfied. And like a couple of people I've told the story to, they're like, "Oh, you didn't see it though?" I was like, "I don't care." I was like, I got
was
that
4 feet away from a black.
I know. I it oh, was. I know. I
there's
didn't,
where we're gonna use this wax. Oh my god.
I know. I did not. Like that was not even. On the bingo card. Like that was ridiculous. And it was a total shot in the dark because you can't actually see where they're reported or when, but I just heard that they start calling early summer for breeding season. I was like, well, maybe it's the right time of year, you know, maybe. I hadn't really done enough research, honestly, on them, but I had used what little resources I had beforehand. But and so I just got like crystal clear audio of it and just had this guy right next to me. I FaceTimed my sister and like had her listen to it right next to me too. It was just super.
I got a text from him cool. That was just a video, no context. And it was like, I opened the video and he's just pointing at grass and it's like blaring black rail
yeah.
calls like coming right at me. Yeah. And just like Patrick's face, like in shock.
I was literally like hysterically laughing, like under my breath. I was like, there's no way this is happening yeah, right now.
That's
it was ridiculous.
That's the best birding yeah. experience.
And it didn't stop. Like I sat there for 15, 20 minutes and it just like kept moving around a few feet at a time and doing it. It was like ridiculous. I never saw it. And I definitely didn't try and walk in the grass and like
yeah,
flush
you don't
it or anything.
Deserve it.
Like, especially during breeding season. But and so I just kind of like walk along the road from there and just see if I can get a different angle and like keep going. And then as I'm like 30, 40 feet away from that one at that point, I hear another one further down. And so I walk further along. It's the same situation. There's one like 5 feet off the road.
Wow.
Like probably just 40 yards from where the other one was. And I don't know. I mean, surely the females don't call during breeding season, right?
So I have no idea.
Just two males there, maybe?
Oh.
Which is ridiculous. But I didn't see that one either, but I got like another video of it and just...
Ridiculous.
I was like crapping myself. It was amazing. I was so happy. Yeah, so I...
Congratulations.
Yeah, considering Seaside Sparrow, that was my second lifer of the trip, which is just so cool. So, so cool. But
man, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, and just had some like other random birds throughout the trip. I had a tropical kingbird, which is rare for there. Not crazy rare, but they just don't come up that far north along the coast typically. So that was cool because I found that. I didn't use reports or anything. Really great views of it. Like, I was pulling into a parking lot and it was just on the fence.
It's like, at a school, right?
It was at a turtle hospital.
Oh.
Yeah, so my one of my family members works at a little conservation thing connected with Texas A&M, and it was just on the fence of that building, just chasing a mockingbird and coming back and forth, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
Better looks at one than I did have in South Texas, which is kind of crazy because they're supposed to be there. But
yeah, that's wild. That's wild. That's amazing, yeah. Dude.
And then other highlight bird was a Kumlings Iceland, which is pretty rare there. And that one was...
You didn't have to drive all the way.
Yeah. I know. I know. But that was beautiful. It was almost snow white. And just,
I saw that list. I didn't even... Yeah. Oh, I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
I've never seen an Iceland gull.
Really? Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, we, and by we, I mean mostly I, have been behind on editing episodes.
No, I've been late on my couple as well, so no worries.
We're slow right now, but it's all good. We're going to try and get back into the swing of things.
Just break there, and I'll send you off to Panama.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was good to talk to you.
But we'll see you around
yeah.
in the next one.